Today we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Today, as far as our church, we've set aside this service to focus on Thanksgiving. In America, the fourth Thursday in November is set aside to give thanks every year. In general, from the research that's been done, it's believed that Thanksgiving, I guess it had its roots in the Reformation. Now, more than likely, there were Thanksgiving days before that. But as far as how we observe a day for Thanksgiving, it's believed that it had its roots during the Reformation. And in America, it originated with the Pilgrims, in particular the Puritans, that wanted to give thanks unto God up in the area, primarily in the North and the New England areas where it originated. They wanted to give thanks unto God for their blessings. I find it interesting in our day and age today with the current, I'll call it the rewriting of history by some, not by all historians, but by some that's taken place in our nation. I found an interesting article trying to say that the original plan was a harvest festival that was taking place, not giving thanks to God, but just a harvest festival in general, which of course would please everybody today. But I find it also interesting that in New England, in late November, the harvest is completely done. There is no harvest taking place. It's already finished. You see, the truth is Americans wanted to give thanks unto God. That's the truth. Whether you agree with it or like it or not, that's the truth. Americans were grateful for God. They wanted to give thanks unto God for the blessings that God had given unto them. As Christians today, Thanksgiving is something that I think we should practice constantly. It shouldn't just be one day in November that we set aside a day to give thanks, or even a week or 2 weeks. We should be thankful at all times. We should be grateful to God for what He's given us. That song that was sung there, you think about that, no matter what we have in life, we should be thankful for the blessings that God has given to us. I think if we all sat down, we could probably find something to be thankful for. And this morning, if nothing else, we can be thankful because God is great. And because His blessings are abundant in our life. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 2 this morning. Daniel chapter 2. And it's an odd chapter to find Thanksgiving in. The reason why I say it is because it's a chapter that most people, when you go to Daniel chapter 2, you talk about the dream of this mighty king. Or you begin to talk about the interpretation of this dream, which begins to tell us all about, you know, what would take place. But in Daniel chapter 2, basically, we're going to begin reading in verse 19. It says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee." He says there, "For Thou hast now made known unto us," he says, "the king's matter." Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day, for the blessings that You have given unto us. Lord, we want to just lift You up today and thank You for not only for allowing us to meet here today. Thank You for Your salvation which You've given to us. Thank You for those that are here. I pray as we go into this sermon and as we look at this passage, I pray that You open up our eyes to Your Word and help us to just be encouraged from Daniel's example of giving thanks to You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to run through the situation first because I don't know if anybody's been reading Daniel or studying it this week. And if you have not, this will just give you what's going on in this chapter and help us with the context. You know, I like to have sermons that are series so we don't take things out of context. But sometimes we'll have a sermon that'll be in a chapter that we haven't been studying or going through. And so what I like to do, and I'll do for just a few minutes, is just get you, get all of us up to date of what's going on. Basically, we have here, as far as the situation, I guess before us, we have the account of a successful young man given a trial that threatened his life. Somebody say, "We talking about Daniel still?" Yes, we're talking about Daniel. A successful young man that was tested and given a trial that probably would shake many others. He was born and raised in Jerusalem, but at a young age was taken from his home. It's believed he was either in his late teens or early 20s, taken from his home in Jerusalem by the powerful king Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had swept down, conquered Jerusalem, and in the process, he saw all these young men who he believed were promising. He thought intelligent, they were smart, and he decided to take them and use them within his own kingdom. And that's what he did. He grabbed these young men and took them off. Daniel and his friends were part of that group. Taken from their home, these young men were educated in Babylon. I guess for that time, they were given the best education that one could expect. They were placed into their new country of service, and they were given positions to work. I imagine they settled down at some point. You know, the hope of going home was probably gone. I mean, it was lost. This was their life. This was their new direction. And they probably settled down, and they may have even began to think that their troubles were behind them. Have you ever done that? You may think, wow, I got through that trial. I'm going good now. I think sometimes we begin to think that, and then all of a sudden we get blindsided by another trial. Sometimes it's even bigger than the one that we had before. You know, I think part of living in this world is just understanding there's going to be difficulties. And Daniel found that out at a young age. Well, anyway, he gets settled down and begins to work. And the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about his career. It doesn't tell us about his personal life. It doesn't tell us how much he settled down. But basically, we know that some time passed. And then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, this powerful and mighty king, and by the way, he was a tyrant in complete control of his kingdom, which extended to cover most of the Middle Eastern area. He received this dream from God. I believe it was a baffling dream and a frightening dream. It terrified him and just confused him. And he immediately summoned his wise men. I tell you what, he went and got all his counselors, all his doctors, and everyone that was considered wise, and all of them came. And he brought them, and not all of them, but those that were the leading men, brought them in hoping to find a meaning to this dream of his. And he began to try to get an answer. Well, nobody could provide an answer. They couldn't even provide the dream to him. And what made things worse is these trusted wise men who made a living off the nation deceived him, is what they did. Well, he became infuriated, the Bible tells us, was upset, mad, and instantly ordered the execution of all his wise men. Daniel was part of that group. Have you ever had something come into your life that was just completely out of nowhere? Everything's going good. And all of a sudden you say, well, where'd that come from? I didn't even see it. I wasn't even expecting it. That's what happened to Daniel. All of a sudden, the Bible says the command was given. I can imagine him at work one day. It's not just a command for him to go into jail. It wasn't a command for him to be set aside. It was a command for his death. Because he was one of these wise men. Now, he had nothing to do with it, but that's the situation. Well, the Bible tells us that God had other plans. I'll tell you what, let's give thanks right now that God has other plans. Men and people in this world do not control God or his plans. And God had other plans for Daniel. And the Bible tells us that Daniel was given an opportunity to stand before the king. And there the young man, I believe he was a young man now, there the young man promised this king to return with a meaning for the dream. Now you think about that. This was a bold statement. Nobody else could even tell the king what it was. And Daniel told him not only would he tell him what it was, but he'd return with the meaning of this dream. The Bible says that Daniel returned home, and you know what he did? He met his three companions, and the Bible says they had a prayer meeting is what they did. I tell you, that's a lesson for us. When we're faced with a trial or a test, let's just hit our knees. Let's just go to God and seek His wisdom, seek His help, and seek Him out. That's what Daniel did. That's all he did. He didn't go to the libraries and do some research. He didn't go seek counsel from the other wise men. He didn't draw on any of his experiences. He went to God looking for answers and looking for assistance. And the Bible tells us, as we've read there, that God blessed him. And that basically leads us into our subject this morning. You see, God answered Daniel's prayer. You know what that tells us? From all the teachings we find in the Bible, it tells us that Daniel had faith in God. Because God does not reward those that come to him without faith. So evidently, Daniel went to God with faith, trusting that God could provide an answer, and believing that God would provide that answer. This morning, we need faith. We just need to trust in God when we're tested and when we're tried. That also tells us that Daniel belonged to God and that God loved Daniel and God was going to bless him. What occurred next, like I said, will be the subject of our message this morning. Now, what we have here in this little section is basically a prayer of thanksgiving. that's offered up to God from Daniel. And that's what I want to focus on for the next few minutes. I know in the past we've had messages on Daniel in this chapter here on what he did, how he reacted, his responses, and so forth. But this morning, I want to just give you three thoughts concerning his prayer. Three quick thoughts. The first one is, his prayer was directed to the correct individual, and that was to God. You find there, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. You see, Daniel prayed to God. We're not to pray to anyone else in this world. We're to pray to God. We're not to pray to those that have died and went before. We're to pray to God and God alone. Only God deserves our prayers and our worship. And that's what Daniel did. He prayed to the one and only God of heaven. And in this prayer, he referred to Him as the God of his fathers. I find that interesting. The God of his fathers. The God that he knew from a young age. The God that he had been raised after. The God that he, I guess you say, was faithful to his family in times past. That's the God he prayed to. You know what's sad today? When you find someone who's raised in a good, sound church, in a home that loves the Lord, and you find them living out in the world, just having no desire for the things of God. You know, to me that's sad because they had the opportunity, a great opportunity. You travel this world and people in other continents who are raised without any hope in some cases would be thrilled to have an opportunity to be raised in a home where God is worshipped and praised. Well, Daniel didn't forget the God that he was raised after, the God that he was taught about. Daniel, the Bible says, gave thanks to God. You know, in this prayer, and I want you to notice real quick how he recognized God and the greatness of God. He gives a sevenfold praise of God, if you'll notice here. It begins by saying, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. You know, wisdom and might belong to God. You realize that God knows all that occurs in this earth. And not only does He have the knowledge, but He is able to do whatever He chooses. That's the God we pray to. You know, this morning we're talking about Thanksgiving. That's the God that we can give thanks to, the God that is able to do as He chooses here on earth. Nobody can block God. Nobody can hinder God. Nobody can prevent God. If God wants something done, it's going to be done. Let's praise the Lord for that. God is great. God is wonderful. Secondly, He's the God that says there, if you'll notice, we go back to our passage there, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. In other words, He has control over that which is uncontrollable. The times and the seasons. How many of you can slow down time? How many of you would like to slow down time? I would love to be able to on some days. Days would just go by. It'd be nice to be able to slow down and get a few extra hours or another day in the week sometimes. We can't do that. God controls those things. You know what's interesting? You go over the New Testament, and I don't have the passage written down on this, but remember when Jesus calmed the storm? Remember what the disciples said? What manner of man is this? That amazed them. They had seen a lot of miracles. But what amazed them is when they saw Him calm the storm. You see, nobody, even today, I'm thankful for those that, I don't want to say forecast the weather. They kind of tell us what they think is going to happen. I'm thankful for that. We can kind of prepare. But even they will admit, they're limited in their knowledge. Today, if you sat down and wrote out what's going to happen over the next 10 days, as far as the prediction of the weather, I'm sure it'll change by tomorrow. You'll have to write something else down. And it may not change drastically, but it's going to change. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. God is able to control those things. You see, He's mighty. He's God. Also, thirdly, notice it says there, He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Not only does He have control over the elements of this world, but He has authority over the people of this world, even those that want to think they're above Him. He's got authority over those people. You know, in Proverbs 21, verse 1, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. You see, God is in control. And if someone is in a position or leadership, you can be sure God has allowed them to be there. And they should recognize that. Sadly, many don't, but they should recognize that God has blessed them and allowed them to be there. Next, it says, He giveth wisdom unto the wise. In other words, the ability to decide. Remember Solomon was asked what he desired? What did he choose? He didn't choose a new car, flat screen TV. He chose wisdom is what he wanted. The ability to make the correct decisions, to use his knowledge in the proper way. That was a good choice. The Bible tells us it was an excellent choice. Next, the Bible tells us that God giveth to them that know understanding. In other words, he provides information when needed. That's what he did with Daniel here. Daniel was praising God because God had given him what he needed when he required it. Also, it says he revealeth the deep and secret things. Now, as far as Daniel, that was this dream that God had revealed unto him. But this morning, God may not reveal dreams unto us, but you know what he has revealed? He's revealed his will and his word. Now, you think about that. Just for a minute, think about God's word. Without God's word, we know nothing of God at all. Now, without God's word, you can look around this world, and I think you can come to the conclusion that there is a God. You know, there are a lot of people that have come to that now. Just by looking at creation, people look and say, you know what? They may not recognize God, but a lot of them will call it intelligent design. They'll look and say there is a creator of some type, of some sort. So we can get an understanding and a knowledge that there is a God. But without the Bible, we know nothing of God personally. We don't know who he is. We don't know what he expects. We know nothing of ourselves. The Bible basically reveals that to us. It's God's word to us. And he revealeth, as it says there, he revealeth the secret things to us so we can understand. Also, the seventh thing there says, he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. God is all-knowing, but he's perfect. That's what this is talking about. Nothing escapes him. You know, in Psalm 139, it says, thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows all about us. Now, you know, the first reaction I think sometimes is, oh, wow, he knows all my faults and he knows all my failures. Well, yes, he does. But he also knows your struggles. He knows your fears. He knows your concerns. He knows when you're facing a difficult time. He knows when you want to do something but you're unable to. He knows the motives of your heart. He knows if you're trying. He knows if you're putting effort in it. See, God understands that. And that's where we can be encouraged. We serve a wonderful God. We have a wonderful God. Now, some would look and say, well, this really doesn't seem that important to this prayer. I mean, as far as Thanksgiving, where does this fall in? I'll share this with you. I think it's difficult to give thanks to someone you don't know. Has someone ever given you something and they're a stranger? And you say thank you because that's proper. You know, someone gives you, and you say, thank you. But if you don't know them, you may not express yourself. You'll just say, well, thank you. Appreciate it. Now, someone has given you something that is family or friend. They're close. And they've given you something, especially if they've sacrificed something to give to you. All of a sudden, the thank you is, it means a little bit more. Thank you. I really appreciate this. I know you care for me, and so forth. Well, you think about this here. Daniel knew God. That's what we find in this passage. Daniel was not giving thanks to a God that he didn't know. A God that had just helped him out of the blue. Daniel was given thanks to a God that he was familiar with. And so he was able in his prayer. You know, I was challenged when I was studying this out. I read one man said this. He goes, how many people could sit down and give a prayer like this? A lot of us would stumble through it because we wouldn't know much about God. Daniel knew his God. Daniel loved his God and was able to pray and give thanks unto his God because he knew him. And this morning, some cannot give thanks to God because they just don't know him, plain and simple. You know, the Bible tells us, basically, concerning salvation. I'll give you three important facts concerning salvation. You have to be saved from something. You have to. If salvation is involved, you have to be saved from something. And this morning, if you're going to be saved, or if someone is saved, they've been saved from sin, of course. They've been forgiven, and they've been saved from death. That's what the Bible tells us. Secondly, you have to be saved to something. If you're saved, you've been forgiven. The guilt's gone, but also you've been given eternal life. That's what you've been given. And thirdly, if you're going to be saved, it has to be by something, or in the case of salvation, by someone. Jesus Christ, his atonement that was made on the cross of Calvary, so that way we could be saved. You see, if you don't know God, it's not because God has not made it, I guess, made himself available to you. It's because you haven't trusted in Christ as your Savior. That's where it begins. John 14:6 talks about that. There's no other way to God but through Jesus Christ. It's just plain and simple. And the Bible teaches that. So we must trust in Christ. We must repent of our sins and believe on Jesus to be saved. You know, some, after they're saved, struggle to give thanks. And I think it's because we're just not close to God. You know, if we get distracted by this world, or we get caught up in things of this world, then it's easy to forget to give thanks. You know, we get blessings and we may, out of pride, think, well, I deserve that. No, we don't deserve anything. We give thanks to every blessing God has given to us. If God has blessed you with a family, if God's blessed you with a job, if God's blessed you with whatever he's given unto you, give thanks. God has blessed you and allowed you to have those. And so we struggle to give thanks when we're not close to God. When we're walking with God, I think we recognize his blessings in our life. So Daniel, Daniel thanked God because God is great and also because he knew God to be great. Here's my second thought here. It was immediate action. Immediate action. This was a tense time. First, here's my first thought. It was a matter of life and death. It wasn't just a, you know, if you don't get this answer here, then you get punished for 30 days and you go back to your job, or you lose pay for a month or for a year. I mean, things like that would be bad. But in this situation, if Daniel failed, his life was taken. It was a very tense situation. You know, there are some tests that if you fail in life, you can retake them. You know, you get a reset button, you can start over. But this test, Daniel couldn't retake. If he messed up, if he failed, then guess what? His life on earth was over. It was finished. And not just him, but others too. So there was a lot of responsibility here. Second, there was a deadline. Now, there are some people who will say, well, I work better under fire. And maybe you do. Sometimes we just put things off to the last minute is what happens. Deadlines are not enjoyable. You know, when you have to get something done by a certain time, especially when that time begins to get closer. You know, at first, maybe it's a month off. You say, I got time, I get it. Then it's 2 weeks away. I'll take care of it. Then you say, well, I got 1 week left. I got five, so I got 6 days left. I'll get it. The next thing you know, I got to get this done today. It's got to be finished by tomorrow. If not, then this happens or this happens. And all of a sudden, there's a deadline there. Now, I know I'm not the only one that puts things off to the end sometimes, but you know, when we get to a deadline, we can become tense, we can be stressed, and you know what we can do? We can just focus on that, and that's it. You know, the thought here is, I think the natural reaction of Daniel would have been just to go to the king right away. Just said, hey, I got it. I got the answer. God has blessed me, and I'm going to go tell the king. And that may have been the natural reaction, just to go and find the king and share this information. You know, sometimes we leave early on purpose. How many of you ever had a meeting, maybe an interview of some type, and you don't want to be late? And so you end up leaving early, I mean even earlier than is necessary, because you want to avoid traffic, you want to avoid maybe an unexpected delay of some kind, maybe an accident or something along those lines, and you want to get there in time where you can kind of calm down and take a breath and get ready to go inside, so you're not rushed in, running in as fast as you can. You want to get there early. Maybe it only takes 15 minutes to get there, but on that occasion, you're going to go about 35, 40 minutes just so you can make sure you're there. Daniel, the Bible tells us, you think about this, he very easily could have used that reasoning to hurry up and get over there, to be ready to stand before the king. But you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that he gave thanks immediately to God. Immediately. You know, the best time to give thanks after you're blessed is right away. Don't delay. Don't put it off till later and say, well, I'll thank God later. The best time is to give it right away. And two reasons. The first one is we are easily distracted. We are. There are so many things that can come up in our life that we are distracted. And secondly, you know what that distractions, or those distractions may lead to? Forgetfulness. You know, we get distracted and then we forget. And we meant to give thanks to God. We meant to pray to God and give Him glory and honor and really spend time giving thanks to God. But then all of a sudden we become distracted. We forget. And then it's a week later, 2 weeks later. And yes, we were blessed, but we forgot to give God thanks. The best time to give God thanks is when you're blessed. Right there immediately. And you may not have time to get on your knees, but you can right there in your heart just give thanks unto God for that blessing which He has given into your life. You know what we find with Daniel, I think? We find that his priorities were correct. Correct priorities. You know, it's easy to get things out of order in life. Daniel had God first. Now think about this. He had a terrible tyrant for a king, Nebuchadnezzar. Powerful, mighty man who really, at just his own command, could end anyone's life. And then he had the God of heaven who he just prayed to and received this gift. And you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible says that the king could wait. Daniel was going to pray. I like that. This king could wait because Daniel was going to give prayer to God and give thanks unto the Lord. And that's what he did. You know, this morning, God often takes a back seat. You know, if we admit it, he takes a back seat sometimes. How about to family and friends? Now, family's important. Friends are important. But you know, sometimes we put them before God, and that's dangerous. Doesn't matter if it's a spouse or a child. You put anyone before God. That's incorrect priority. God is number one. God's your creator. God's your savior. God should be first in your life. You know, when priorities are correct, then things fall into place. And not everything's perfect, but things fall into place as far as walking with the Lord. How about work? You know, a lot of people put work first. You know, they work, and if they get a chance, then they'll serve God. Work, and if they get a chance, then they'll read their Bible. Work, if they get a chance, they'll pray. Now, I know we have to work. I know we have to have careers, and God understands that as well. But there's a difference between putting your career first or putting God first and praying to God. You know, I always find it interesting. Daniel, the Bible says, would pray three times a day. So would David. One was a king, and the other one was a prime minister. I imagine they didn't have a lot of time just to goof around. Yet they took time to pray to God three times a day. You see, we can make time if we want to. Also, entertainment, if we're not careful, can squeeze out the Lord. We get so caught up in entertaining ourselves. And, you know, those entertainments aren't necessarily bad. I'm not saying they're evil or sinful. There could be nothing wrong with them. But if we put all our time into those, then there's no time for God. Let's just be careful of making sure that our priorities are correct, that God is first. I think Daniel displayed this in his prayer to God immediately. You know, his urgency to relate the dream to the king would have to wait because he was going to talk to his God and give him thanks. And that's what we find here. Also, to me, it just displays his love for God, that he would give thanks right away for what God had given to him. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, verse 4, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." You know, this morning, let's just give thanks to God. Let's make that a priority in our life. Not just Thursday or this week, but make that a priority in our life to give thanks to God for his blessings that he's given to us. On a daily basis in your prayer life, give thanks to God. Exalt him and praise him for all that he's done. Here's the third thought, and this is the importance of the answer. Daniel was in a bind. We'll go back to Daniel chapter 2. It says there in verse 23, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Daniel was in a bind. He was. You ever hear that phrase, between a rock and a hard place? That's where he was. I mean, he had no way out. He had to go to God and wait on God. And the Bible says he took his problem to God. You know, 1 Peter 5, let's turn over there. 1 Peter 5, let's just look at this real quick. This is in the New Testament, and I know it wasn't written when Daniel was alive, but I believe the principle was still there. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. It says there, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You know, sometimes in the middle of a trial, we forget that God does care for us. It's easy to begin to wonder if anyone cares or if anyone's paying attention. Well, this morning, the Bible tells us God cares for us. And he wants you to cast your care upon him because he cares for you, because he loves you. Because he wants to help you. Because he wants to carry your burden with you. You know, if you're saved here this morning, the burden of sin is gone. It's been lifted. But you know, as Christians, you know what we can do? We can carry other burdens. We can worry. We can fret. We can take these burdens and we can put them on our backs and we just carry them around through life. And no wonder, you know, we began to carry those burdens. No wonder we get discouraged easily. No wonder we go around with a sad face. Because we have these burdens that we're holding on to. Now, you may not see them physically, but if they're inside, they're going to weigh you down eventually. The Bible tells us there that he wants us to cast our cares. And that word for cast is talking about throwing them on him. I mean, just pick them up and just throw them on him in prayer. Go and give them to God. Let him carry them. And then wait on him to bless you. And continue on, of course, serve the Lord, but allow him to carry those burdens. You know, situations that you have no control over, give them to God. And that's what Daniel did. He went to God and then he just waited. And the Bible says he received an answer. Now, this answer came at the correct time. You know, the Lord knows this morning, when you go to pray to God, he knows if you need an answer immediately. You know, and sometimes we do. You know, we have a prayer request and we go to God. You know, God is aware if you need that answer immediately. He's also aware if you just want it immediately. That's sometimes the case. We don't necessarily need the answer. We just want it right now. And God also understands that, and he may delay. He knows when we need the answer. In Daniel's case, he knew he needed that answer immediately. He provided the answer. He blessed Daniel with the understanding and the knowledge that was needed concerning this dream. So he answered in a timely fashion, and Daniel's needs were provided. And the Bible talks a little bit here. It says there that in his praise and thanks to God, he says, "Praise thee, O thou God of my fathers." Notice what he says, "Who hast given me wisdom and might." Wisdom. Talked about this a little bit. Wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. I read where someone put it this way. Knowledge is the ability to take things apart, while wisdom is the ability to put them together. And that's probably true. Here's another illustration for you. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, we have our children. They're up in the children's church this morning. But there's no doubt in my mind that some of our young children, if you give them your keys and you open up that car door, and you might even have to open up the car door. They know how to unlock it, I'm sure. And they get in that car, there's no doubt in my mind that they could drive that car. I mean, you've seen them on phones and computers. I mean, children can knock out anything. Some of them know our phones better than we do. Well, they might have the ability to get in that car and drive it, but do they have the wisdom to drive it correctly? Do they have the self-control to go the speed limit, even if they can see the speed limit? Do they have the knowledge of the laws and how to apply them? Do they have self-control? I got to come back to self-control again. You know, you get some of these children in the car, I mean, they'd be gone down the street and who knows where it'd be. See, that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You can have knowledge. Wisdom gives you the ability to make correct decisions. And that's what God gives. You know, in James chapter 1, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." You see, God gives wisdom to those that ask. This morning, maybe you are going through a difficult time in your life. Maybe God has allowed a trial to come in that you didn't plan on, you didn't expect. And maybe you need some wisdom to make some correct decisions. You see, in Daniel's case, think about this. Here's why his wisdom was needed. You see, he was about ready to stand before this king who could end his life. And Daniel needed to say the correct words in the correct manner. You know, have you ever said something that when it came across the wrong way? Now, some of us are good at that. You say something and then later say, "I didn't mean it that way." Well, it was taken the wrong way. See, Daniel needed wisdom before this king. I tell you what, he didn't want to say something in the wrong way. And this king said, "Well, fine, I'll just end your life. Thanks for the knowledge, but you're done anyway." You see, he wanted to have wisdom so he can not only give the right answer, but do it in the correct way. And that's what God gave to him. He also wanted to be able to speak at the correct time. You see, Daniel understood the importance of wisdom, and that's what God gave. This morning, maybe you need wisdom in one of your trials or one of your difficulties. Seek God, he'll give it. You belong to him if you seek it. And the Bible tells us in James, you have faith that God will give you the wisdom that's required to get through that trial. You know, in James, I always find it interesting, they weren't told to pray that the trial be ended. They were told to pray for wisdom so they could endure the trial and they could get through it. This morning, God may not take some trials from us, but he may give you, if you pray, he'll give you the wisdom you need to get through that. That's what he did with Daniel. He didn't take him out of this situation. He gave him what was needed to get through it. And that's how God often works. And that's what Daniel was praising God for. Now, secondly, his might. He gave Daniel wisdom and might. Now, might refers to boldness. Daniel would need this boldness to stand before this king, and that's what he was given. He was given courage to do what God wanted. He was given confidence in God. You know, today everyone's talking about self-esteem and self-confidence. I think if we're honest and we look deep down inside, we realize that we are not only sinners, but we'll find imperfections. We find, shortcomings. You see, in reality, we need God. We don't need just to build ourselves up. We need God. We need his wisdom and we need his might. Because the Bible tells us that without God, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things." And it says there, "through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You see, with God, we can do all things. You know, Daniel thanked God because God blessed him. You know, as we wrap this up this morning, if we looked at these, here's the thoughts with you. He had this terrible situation, this trial. He went to God seeking his help, and God blessed him. And so what did he do? He fell down on his, he fell on his knees. He may have just stood there and prayed. It doesn't tell us. But he went to God in prayer, and he thanked God. First, he began with thanking God for who he was. This morning, if you're going to thank God, begin by thanking God for who he is. His greatness, his grace, his mercy, his power, his strength, his ability. The list goes on and on and on. Read the Bible. If nothing else, read the Bible so you can know God, so you can thank God. And that's what Daniel did. He began to thank God for all that he was. And then secondly, he thanked God because of the importance of his answer at the timely manner. You know, God didn't leave him or forsake him. God provided the answer when it was needed. And thirdly, if you'll notice there, he thanked God because God, as far as greatness, provided all that was needed. You see, Daniel thanked God for his greatness is what he did. He served a great God, and God blessed him. You know, this morning, it's easy, if we're not careful, to forget the blessings that God has given to us. And I'll share this with you as we close. I'm going to close with an illustration this morning. But if you're saved here this morning, you have something to give thanks for, if nothing else. There's a story of a situation that took place in the early 1900s. I believe it was 1909, in downtown Chicago. Late evening, the sun was beginning to go down, and a policeman was walking his beat there in Chicago, and he observed a man who was standing against a wall, kind of leaning against a wall, next to this little mission that this church had put on, a little mission there. And this man was leaning against the wall, and his hat was in his hands. And the police officer looked over, and he noticed that the man was acting kind of strange. And so after he observed him for a little bit, he made his way over there. Now the officer believed this man was either drunk or ill as he approached him. And so as he got close, he looked and noticed that the man's eyes were closed. And the man seemed to be moving about and almost talking a little bit. And so the officer nudged him. And he said this. He said, "What's the matter, Mac? Are you sick?" And the man opened up his eyes and smiled. He said, "No, sir." He said, "My name's Billy Sunday. I was converted here in this little mission." He says, "I never pass this way without taking the opportunity, if possible, to stand quietly for a moment and just whisper a prayer of thanksgiving." The officer smiled, it says, and shook his hand. He said, "I've heard about you." He said, "Continue praying. I'll make sure no one bothers you." You think about that. That's it. Being thankful to God for what he's given to us. Salvation. I hope and pray everyone here this morning is saved. That's the greatest thing to be thankful for. That your soul is saved, your sins are forgiven, your eternity secure. And if you're saved here this morning, if nothing else, maybe you want to just give thanks to God for saving your soul. Now, you might not be able to go back to the location, but you can remember when God saved your soul and how you were forgiven and your life was changed. And if nothing else this Thanksgiving, give thanks to God for that. You see, we can be grateful to God for many things, but most importantly, salvation. And if you're not saved here this morning, I tell you what, that can be settled. That can be. You know, as we talked earlier, understand you're a sinner. Understand that you're a sinner in need of salvation, that you need forgiveness. And then once you understand that, the Bible tells us that the next step is to repent of those sins and trust in Christ as your Savior. And that's what the Bible teaches there. You see, salvation really is simple. So simple it can be overlooked, or so many people can go right by it because they think it has to, you know, do all these things or this or that. But the Bible really is, the work's done. Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross. All we have to do is repent of our sins and believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. And so if there's someone here this morning that's not saved, I tell you, what a great day to be to get things settled with God on a day when we celebrate Thanksgiving and you can get your soul taken care of. Let's have a word of prayer and a time of invitation this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for the blessings you've given to us. I pray as we have this invitation that if you've worked in anyone's heart in any way this morning, perhaps, Lord, there's someone here that just has been reminded of how great you are to them, and they just want to give you thanks. I pray that they'll do that this morning in this invitation. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for a few minutes. We're going to have a time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart here this morning, please seek him in prayer. Now you can come down to these altars and pray if you'd like to, or you can pray right where you are. I just encourage you to seek the Lord. If you have any questions on salvation, maybe there's someone here that in the course of this message has come to the understanding, or maybe they're just unsure. You're unsure of your salvation and you have some questions. If that's the case, you come forward and someone can take the Bible and show you from God's Word what salvation is and how you can be saved. Or maybe you already know what to do. You just need to seek God out. If that's the case, please get